This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Wayne Kent is in the house, and he'll be back here tonight at 5 o'clock. What is that hat you're wearing? It's sort of like the Yankee pinstripes, but sort of...
It's when I went down to the Louisville baseball place. That was really cool.
The Louisville baseball. You are so Canadian sometimes.
Louisville Slugger.
Slugger, yeah, that's right.
But that was a very Canadian version of that, wasn't it?
Right. Well, fair enough.
That Louisville baseball place.
Baseball place. Yes. That's a fascinating museum. Well, it's an actually working factory.
Yeah, where they make the bats.
But you get to walk through it there. Yeah, we took my cousin came over from Australia and we took him down there. It was brilliant.
All right.
Absolutely brilliant.
Good for you. All right. So yesterday, you've got a lot of experience in this year. You were announcing, your retirement.
Right.
We yesterday retired the food drive, which is kind of, to me, a fairly accurate word, meaning that just sort of you do something and you do it for a long time and it doesn't last forever. And I think there's expectations that things last forever, but they don't. Your overall thoughts and once again, my unbelievable gratitude to you and yours, particularly BJ right. And the Crystal, folks who have worked on this, hands on for so many years. I thought it was a nice day.
Yeah, a couple of observations. First of all, congratulations to you and to Kevin and your whole team for 20 years. I mean, you step into an event thinking, okay, we're going to do this once.
Yeah, and there's no expectations beyond that.
20
right?
years later, you're going, we're still doing this.
Yeah.
And for the amount of money that you've raised and the amount of help that you've brought to thousands of people across Central Illinois, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And what's thrilling to me is the way in which the community has come around behind that. And so on behalf of the community, Brian, thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I do. I always get a little sheepish about that because it's never really been about that. It's been about trying to help people. And I feel like we have. We get a little cynical about the amounts of money, that get handed out in this community. I mean, $1.5 million handed out yesterday is a significant chunk of change.
It's a lot of money. To raise $1.5 million in one day, and admittedly with some super phenomenal, big time gifts. Fair enough. But the remarkable thing about the food drive over 20 years is it's not just the big gifts, but it's everybody. It's that kindergartner going home and saying, I want to take a can of beans to school. We tend to, just because the numbers involved, we tend to gravitate toward these big gifts. But hey, it's not always the same it's equal sacrifice, but it's not always the same dollars.
No, and I will tell you that every year there's about 300,000 of those dollars raised, during the day of the food drive that are $1, $5, $10, buying a bag of food. You're right. When you're out there, and you've been out there plenty of hours, that's the magical kind of stuff you see every year.
It is. And may I say that when it comes to, those who are kind of, not to say bemoaning, but those who are concerned that the food drive might have come to an end, just that version of it, I'm aware of this. I've been in pastoral ministry for many, many years. I've been in the pastor at First Christian Church coming up on 28 years. I've come to this understanding. I'm really just an interim guy.
We're all interim guys.
That's the point.
I'm surprised the man of your background is just now coming to the realization.
No.
All interim.
Everything is interim. I mean. So the food drive, it had its time, and the next thing will come along. And because you can't be doing it when you're not. Well, I suppose you could if you wanted when you're 96 years old. But on the other hand, all things come to an end.
No, there's a very simple recipe here, in that you're exactly right. Year one, we didn't know what we were even going to get, let alone whether there would be a year two. So this wasn't some sort of grand plan that we would have a 20-year run of doing this. It just turned into that. Secondly, there are a lot of companies or corporations or entities that when they do gifting, right, they will say to themselves, look, if we're more than like 50% of your budget and right. you're depending on your existence solely on what we do, then we're always going to be the bad guy if we don't do it. And so part of this was, how do we plan for the future? And when Howard stepped up with the gift that he did this year again, we thought, okay, you're not going to get a better exit than this. 20 years And we'll be able to give basically yesterday 3 years worth of food drive money at one time to all of these organizations so that they have some leeway to figure out the future. I mean, I don't know. I always thought Barry Sanders had it figured out. You know, everybody went, oh, why? I'm like, well, you know, he went out on top. He wasn't playing for the Wizards, you know, like Michael Jordan or punch drunk like Ali. There are people that go, okay, this is the exit lane.
Right. And I think what's helpful, too, is to remember that it was the creativity of you guys 20 years ago that brought it about. And by not doing it next year, I think that we'll find out what creativity is in the community for new things.
You absolutely bet.
And let's, I would say, in fairness, let's not just focus on that it's come to an end, but more so what has been done, and particularly the great news of what happened yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, yes, it may have come to an end, but I don't want. I would, if I were you, wouldn't want that to be the story.
Yeah, well, and that was the impossible thing, too, yeah. Right? I mean, do we come out and announce it before the food drive? Do we announce it after the food drive? Then it becomes the story. And I can't control the rest of the media. All I can do is what we do here. And to me, the story yesterday were the incredible, grateful faces of these organizations who had a lot of resources handed to them to be able to go out and do a whole lot of good.
It was fascinating to hear the stunning, words of I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Over and, I mean, in different language.
And also, like, what different amounts meant to different people, right? I mean, what they think of in Blue Mound, and they support all of that sort of rural area. Right. There's a lot of people that we have a lot of stereotypes about hunger and food insecurity in this country. We think it's an urban thing, and it is an urban thing, but it's also a rural thing. I mean, it impacts everyone.
Right. And they would come to the, if you weren't there or unable to see it in video in any format, ladies and gentlemen, person after person would come to say thank you. And at first they were at loss for words because they're going, I can't hand out a check for this amount. It really was a spectacular event in that regard.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
And we appreciate so much. And please pass along to BJ and all the crew. I don't know the countless number of people that have manned those phones over the years. People don't, we never wanted anybody to consider the work, you know, just give and feel good. But there was a lot of work, and you guys put a lot of those hours in.
Yeah, so we'd call up Hart Technologies, who run our phone systems, and they'd come in and help us set up our phones for the event.
Yeah.
And so, and that was kind of like we just took that on, and then off we go. And there would be dozens upon dozens of people there all year long, you know, for every year. And,
yeah.
And fair enough. It's what we do.
Yeah. Well, congratulations and thank you for being a part of it over the 20 years.
Good stuff.
1.5 million handed out. You can get a full breakdown of that at nauticator.com. All right. So you're off to Canada. I've spent a very little time in Canada. I don't have any great understanding geographically of I know that there's different regions and different languages and different politics and different, but where your...
My family lives, my parents and siblings and their families all live in Western Canada. So we'll fly, my son and I are flying into Seattle.
Where is that, near Victoria?
Victoria is the farthest west major city in Canada. So it's actually on an island off the coast of,
right.
off the coast of British Columbia. So you can think of where Seattle is?
Yes.
My parents live 2 hours. You can drive there in 2 hours from Seattle.
From Seattle, okay.
So you're going up from Seattle and across the border, and off we go.
Okay.
So and they pre-COVID, they would do as much shopping in the U.S. as they did in Canada because it was a 20-minute drive at the most to go to a shopping center,
right.
And they had a special pass to go across the border. You live on the border, you can get these passes that both Americans and Canadians have, and they literally
it's like the quick line at the airport.
It's even faster.
Yeah.
And Canadians would come south to buy things that weren't available in the north, and Americans would go north because the dollar goes further. So,
I got you.
And it's the way it works on those border towns. So it's fast. I'll be interested to see what the border towns look like, given that they have not had a whole lot of work movement back and forth for the last 2 years.
Everything, right? It's just been turned upside down. Well, we hope you have fun there in doing that. And, you know, as your retirement approaches, and once again, for whatever reason, this date is like lost in my head. Every time
it's
I go to you.
The end of June.
The end of June. Okay. I was thinking summer, but I wasn't sure. How is that going for you?
Well, we're going to actually unpack that.
Are there waves?
There are waves, and there are waves of...
Or ripples?
No, in terms of people responding, no, that's not a big deal to most people.
I meant just for you in the realization of and unpacking your word of all of this. Do you go through different phases of sort of the way you feel about it?
Yes, I do. Like, for example, on this past weekend, I finished the last 3 week to 4 week run of preaching. That, you know, we, in a church our size, what happens is you preach and then somebody else preaches for a week or two, then you're back on. And this was my last run. And because in the new year, the focus of the pulpit will shift to Brian Talty, who's taking
over. All right,
over.
So wait a minute. So this is kind of like college. So now you got like the adjunct guy. I mean, you're still the pastor, but you're not going to be you're not going to preach.
I'm still the pastor. I just won't be preaching. Okay. I usually preach 70% of the time.
Nick, we got to get one of these gigs where I actually host the radio show, but I don't really host it.
Is that what it is?
Well, no, I'm
you can
saying
leave for months at a time to get better at hosting.
You know, I'm going
to
be here till June, but Nick will be doing the show until then.
That's right. It's a lovely gig.
I'm just teasing. No. So what do you do then these last months?
That's a good question because I've never done this before.
Of course, you're walking through uncharted territory.
This is all. You know, I'm swimming. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm aware that I have some responsibilities for some relationships within the life of the church. So I'll probably be doing a lot of lunches and a lot of struggling through entertaining issues.
Buying any of this, Nick, he's going to be lunching.
I'm going to be lunching. I'm getting paid to eat lunch.
Yeah, he's going to be networking.
Networking, yes. Yeah. No, I'll be looking for my next gig. No, I'm not looking for another gig. I'm just teasing. No,
What age are you?
I'm 63. I'll be 64 when I'm done.
You're a great looking 63 year old man. You look great for your age.
Thank you.
As I approach this, right, I'm 55. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, we were talking in terms of 20 years of the food drive. You know, I was 35 years old. When this thing started.
There's a significant difference between a 35 year old and a 55.
There really, there truly is, and it's hard to sort of explain that to younger people. Mm-hmm. It's something I think only you can understand with age. Not being standoff. It's just meaning the perspective of time. You know, those 17, 18 year old kids year one are almost 40 now. I mean, you know, when you start thinking about things in those terms, it's startling.
20 years is a long time. Nick, are you coming up?
He grew up
to 40?
With a food drive.
Are you 40?
I'm past 40. So I was 22 when this thing started.
Oh, God. You're such a child.
But he said he grew up with it. It's a funny thing. It just makes me laugh.
I love it. So I noticed my world or my body changed. Somewhere in my 50 to 55, things feel different. Up until then, it was probably straight ahead. Of course, I had a significant heart issue in 2014.
Yes, you did.
And about
has it been that long ago?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's 2014, which is 7 years and 70 pounds ago.
Yeah. Well, you look great. I'm telling you. I mean, that seems like yesterday to me. That seems wow. That's
no,
hard to believe. That
70,
was
seven in 2014. So yeah. That's sort of. That was in my, you know, mid to late 50s, and that was like, whoa, I didn't even realize I was sick.
Yeah.
I was climbing this mountain with Steve Weber, a physician here in town. We're climbing Masada in Israel, and I'm, and we get up there, and then a few weeks later, of course, I have this event, and he said to me after the fact, Wayne, if you'd had that while we were climbing, obviously it was already in play.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd had that in Masada, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So, yeah, I'm still figuring it out, Brian. I don't know. I've not swum these waters before. It'll be very interesting.
Listen, take your time and figure it out. 63, you got a lot of life left and a lot of things to offer to the world, and do it at your pace. I feel like there's a lot of people who are happy to tell you what to do with your life these days. Like the advice, if you want to call it that, I'll give a friendly term to it. Oftentimes, it seems a little more. I don't know. It seems like it's not really advice, but people
it's
always want
to
tell you what to do, right?
Yeah, that's right. You go, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down for a bit. I'm aware that it seems like everything that I've ever been involved in somehow they end up, and I'd say this hopefully with some humility, in the leadership circle.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for not to not be there for a few months.
Yeah, I get it.
And then probably we get into 23, I'll look at what's out there and what's available. Yeah. I'm aware, what's driving me in many ways is, I don't know if I have quite the edge in creativity that I used to have, or at least that my edge of creativity isn't always as helpful to people who are 20 and 30 today. Whether or not I've lost that edge is of concern. Plus, I did a significant study in the summer of 2019 into 20, and that was I could find no church in America of any significant size where if the pastor stayed 30 years, it didn't crash and burn.
Really?
Not one. Just because they become too stayed in their ways and not creative anymore. For me, it was, for the sake of my congregation, I have to think for the future. I mean, we've been around for 186 years. I don't want to be the one that crashes and burns it.
Man, that's very North Korean. I feel like I got this like you're gonna push Wayne out on an iceberg.
make sure I got some crackers and something to drink. Okay?
Yes, like okay, wow. Listen, you are a very creative guy. You got a lot to offer. It'll be interesting to see what the next chapter is. I think retirement. I enjoy working. Not everyone does. I have a job that I love doing. But there is always a sense of change and staying on top of things and being different than you were yesterday. And I think that's a healthy thing.
The core values of our congregation, we have four core values, one of which is we embrace change. It's the reason the church, I believe, one of the primary reasons the church grew from this small group of people to what it is today.
Yet because always willing to change. It's the hardest thing for people to do. I would put it at number one. I mean, people would talk about fear of public speaking or dying or heights or whatever. Change is the thing that people at large struggle with the most.
So it had to be baked into the life of our church, into the DNA of our church. And here's a way in which I make the church express it from time to time. I'll have everybody stand. You're talking about hundreds of people, okay? I'll say, everybody stand. And everybody on the last 10 people on my right, I want you to get up and we're going to have you move to the left, the far left, and everybody has to move over 10 seats. You would think they were having toenails pulled. Are you kidding me? And yet it's
also very North Korean today. Wayne's got a theme. But the same thing happened yesterday when we show up at Mount Zion High School. Even with a small crowd of people, students and sponsors and people are weird about where they sit. They're weird about being up front. They're weird about being called on. I mean, even into their like adult years, we just aren't very good at it.
So you've got to figure out ways to bring change to people.
So what do you do when you make them move over? What do they? I mean, what's?
Eventually the mob mentality takes over and they all move. And it's a funny moment because everybody realizes, I'm so stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
I sit in the same space every week, and it's good stuff. Life doesn't stay the same, and so if you find ways in which you can change and adapt and grow and be different this year than you were last year and plan to be different in 22, isn't that good stuff?
There's only one constant, I mean, that I have figured out in life is that change is inevitable. I mean, it's just.
The only people who are not changing are laying down and they're very still.
Yeah. Well, they're very loud, too.
I'm talking about if they're dead.
No, I know, but they're very loud and very opinionated.
There are those, yes. And in my ministry career, I mean, God's graced me with some really cool things. I mean,
Though today in what you say?
No, I don't think so because I'm still the pastor. And plus, I would like to think that the way in which I've carried my life and the things that I've said are true of me and my opinions, regardless of whether or not I carry the title clergy or pastor.
All right.
I think that's the case.
So between now and June, you're not going to have "I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore" moment from the Pope. I mean, I think that would be like I'd pay to see that.
You're tired. So, it's too soon. It's probably too soon to do too much reminiscing yet. But
I have
been very blessed. I mean, if you think about this, I've had a very crazy career that's taken me literally around the world. Who gets to do that? Very few. I mean, I've been to 45 different countries. I've played and played keyboards in front of 60, 70,000 people in big shows, if you will. I've sat in nursing homes and held dying hands.
Yeah. It's a life.
That's a whole spectrum that most people don't get to do.
No, I think it's fantastic. I really do. I think I'm more curious. This is more of an interview of like, I want to know what 15 years from now looks like. You know what I mean? Or whatever that might be the case. Because I don't know that I'll deal with it very well.
I didn't think I would either, but it's, and if this had come up say 5 years ago, I would say no. So when the discussion came up, when I started doing this research and this realization hit me, I was sitting. It was in the summer of 2019. And the realization hit me. This is not going. I'm not going to go out the way I thought I did. Was going planning to.
What was your original thought?
Well, I thought I'd go out, you know.
Because you're doing the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, get a rocking chair in every city, go out. I mean, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to come in here on a Thursday morning and say goodbye, and that's it. You'll never hear from me again. And it won't be this, you know, this lead up that you're getting to do.
World tour. No, part of it is because of the role I have. I mean, for the institution to change. And when you think about what I do, when people say I go to whatever church, they go to First Methodist, yeah. They go to GT, they go to First Christian. Usually people say, who's the pastor there? Is he or she, is she any good? And
yeah.
And so because you're the public face of such a, if you will, so many lives, you have to be careful how you manage that.
I got that. You're a public face right now, speaking to a whole lot more people than you are on Sunday morning.
I understand that.
Just telling you, I'm going to come in and go goodbye, and that will be it, and you will not hear from me again. There will be no rocking chairs.
Well, I'm not rocking any chairs. Yeah.
No, I was just thinking about the gifts that Jabbar. The gifts would be nice.
Oh, yeah, the luncheon circuit.
You know, I mean, that's sort of like every arena you go play, they bring out something, and then there's always like the cheap, you know, like, because everybody compares the gifts to the other gifts. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad, but not worth the trade-off. No, you come in and you go.
For me, it was the case that I wanted the congregation to have enough air in the room for them to kind of get used to the idea. And, you know, we've got a lot of systems to change. It's different for every profession, I'm sure, in every church. I just did enough study to say this is, from what I could tell, was the best way to do it. An 18-month run. And so the first 6 months didn't even look different. The second 6 months we're in right now, it does start to feel different. The next 6 months, it will be different.
That's a lot of adjusting. It makes my head hurt just thinking about
When I retired from being the paper boy for 10 years.
When you were growing up, yes.
Literally when I was growing up.
That's the food drive?
They just got a different guy to do the route when I was done. It was that simple.
There'll be a different guy on the microphone on Friday.
The paper came to my house the next day.
No doubt. All right, we've got to take a break. We get back here, we'll preview tonight's Direct Line with Wayne Kent from First Christian Church. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast after this.
Today, rain is likely up until around 10 a.m. It's going to be cloudy in the morning and then clear later with a high of 56. Tonight's mostly clear with a low of 43. For Thursday, sunny with a high near 64, and Friday, sunny with a high of 60. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 43 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:51.
When you talk tires, you need to talk about who you can trust. Palmer is now offering Michelin and Goodyear tires. Palmer Tire is the area's only Michelin and Alliance certified tire professionals. Just tell them which kind of car you drive and they'll go over all the numbers with you. The number you really need to remember, though, is 875-4266. They'll take the time to talk tire size, speed rating, load index, tire pressure, and of course, price. Talk to someone you can trust. Palmer Tire, your Goodyear and Michelin tire dealer.
Are you avoiding your family this holiday season? Maybe you'd rather not talk about your alcohol, gambling, or drug use. Yet again. If they only knew how hard you try to stop. Putting those struggles behind you can seem like an impossible situation. At Gateway Foundation, we get it. Gateway has been helping individuals just like you who are struggling with substance use disorder obtain and sustain long-term recovery for over 50 years. Our team of nurses, counselors, physicians, and psychiatrists understand what you are going through and can show you the way out. Your insurance covers treatment, and the Family Medical Leave Act protects your job. So this holiday season, give yourself and your family the gift of hope. You deserve it. Call 877-505-HOPE. Gateway Foundation, addiction medicine saving lives.
Perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters. Perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Thank you. You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Almost an hour later, I get my payoff. Just let me sit here, you know, rolled up in a ball in the corner. Jones.
I was looking to see if you had the sweats yet.
I'm back in junior high.
Junior high? Wow.
Junior high and high school, yeah.
Yeah. This is such a good song. And after watching all 8 hours of the Beatles, Peter Jackson documentary, then I went back and watched McCartney 3 to Reuben, which is on Hulu, because you get to see the late 20s Paul McCartney in all of its like 4K glory in the documentary, completely restored. And then you go to see the late 70s Paul McCartney reflecting on all of that time. And he said the most poignant thing to Rick Rubin. You know, he said, you know, for years I just played in a band with a guy named John. And now I realize I spent my life playing with John Lennon. You know, I mean, the perspective.
Isn't that cool?
God, we are just reflecting like a couple of old farts. I apologize. This has been just sort of embarrassing.
So I would say my favorite album of all time.
The White Album?
No, I'd have to say... a little help from my friends.
Sergeant Pepper's.
Sergeant Pepper's, yeah.
Yeah.
I was dumb to say my favorite album, then I can remember the name. But I still...
Just
I
saying
still,
album.
I still have the LP.
Do
absolutely.
You really?
Yep. I remember my friends and I, every lunch hour, we'd go find somewhere that had a stereo.
We bought I'm quite certain, because Eisenhower High School is under a boiler. They had a water pipe burst, and we were talking to the principal, Dr. Zahm, yesterday, and they're not in school, so I know our guy's not awake. Yeah, we bought an actual record player for the 17-year-old for Christmas this year.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Keep it quiet, folks. Don't tell him.
Yeah. And literally, I got a distinctly shaped album shaped package in the mail yesterday. I'm like, that can only be one thing. I mean, there's only anything in our lives that's that shape and that size.
And you can go to thrift stores and buy them all the albums from
right
the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Absolutely.
And then I start thinking about the album list in a way that you don't think about music today. You got to get like Original Music Aquarium #1 by Stevie Wonder, right? I mean, there's a must have list.
That's right.
Certainly Sgt. Pepper.
Yep, some Elton John.
And the White Album. I think Elton John's Greatest Hits #1. After one, I'm not a big fan.
Chicago, you got to have a Chicago.
Songs in the Attic by Billy Joel.
There you go. Yep, Piano Man.
Yes.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
We can make the list. All right, so what's coming up tonight at 5 o'clock?
So there's a guy, Pastor Burnett Robinson, out of New York. He got fired this week.
Okay.
He's a pastor and a marriage counselor. And he was preaching this week, and he was going on about rape. He says, if you're going to rape, rape your wife.
No.
The best person to rape is your wife. And I'm going like, are you kidding me? Now, I know that when you're preaching, sometimes you say things extemporaneously that you didn't plan to say.
That's not one of them.
That's not one of them. One time, I'll tell you something. One time, we used to build this big Christmas tree, you know, and the choir would sit in it.
I remember that, yeah.
So...
Did you perform at like the Civic Center or something?
One time we did the Civic Center. Yeah. So nonetheless, it was big crowds and everything, whatever. And it was a great success. And so one year we're going to build the Christmas tree one Sunday afternoon for the performance the next week. And I said at the end of the service, hey, everybody, we're going to build the Christmas tree this week, this afternoon. Bring your screw guns because there's going to be a lot of screwing going on. And I remember just looking up at the balcony and thinking, you can't fix that.
Okay.
You can't fix that. But that's
sort of... That wasn't nearly as bad as you were leading it up to be. But yes, okay.
But this guy, the best person to rape is your wife?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I don't even know where you connect
like
those dots.
Like there's a second best person?
Yeah.
Or it's even appropriate to rape any...
Or the people
Why
are making a list.
That?
Yes. I don't have any idea.
Wayne, did you get laughs on that, I hope?
Oh, the congregation just... I mean, the associate pastor, Darren Embry, he was on the floor, literally. He fell off the front pew.
Mm-hmm.
Just at my silliness.
All right, well, but that was unintentional.
Unintentional.
So what are you going to do with this guy and this story tonight?
I'm going to wonder about what is it inside our heads that we don't, that we have no filters anymore. We've lost filters, you know?
Hang on a second. I take issue with that, because you're suggesting that we think this kind of crazy crap and then have the ability to not say it out loud. I'm not even thinking that.
That's fair. That's fair, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's two problems here. This guy's thinking it, and he doesn't have a filter and is saying it out loud.
And he's a marriage counselor besides that, and I want to go, are you kidding me?
Well, the whole marriage counselor thing, I got to tell you, I don't understand why... having a close relationship with God or being a pastor doesn't necessarily make you an expert in marriage.
No, you're exactly correct about that. For that regard, I would say I do very little marriage counseling because I just go, I don't.
Yeah.
Now, we have a guy on staff who's brilliant at it. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, couples come in.
At least you're married. I always wonder about the Catholic faith. It's like, okay, Padre, you know, you're giving the advice. I mean, you don't even have a significant other.
Yeah, my lovely wife and I have been married for 40 years. I guess we figured out a few things. Well, but
good for you. But I think I'll keep my own advice on the relationship thing.
So, yeah,
tonight at 5 o'clock. We're running out of time. Got to take the hard break here. Wayne Kent, you can hear him live at the Direct Line. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.